Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. And today we're going to have a little shift in plan. We were supposed to be talking about what to do if you make a mistake at work, according to one of our sources, and the other one was this is going to be about the Kama Sutra of conversation. And I'm all excited and ready to go on the Kama Sutra of conversation. Think about it. Conversation. Kama Sutra. Kama Sutra is about making love and about sex. What does that have to do with conversation? Have you ever heard somebody referred to as a great conversationalist? What makes a great conversationalist? A great conversationalist is interested in things and interested in people and can be interested in just about any subject that you bring up. They're curious people. They're people that enjoy the contact with another person, no matter what the subject. They can be interested, and they show more than just interest in the subject. They tend to have some level of interest in the individual who's talking about the subject. They are good listeners. They also know how to converse in return. They know how to share. But they know how to share in rapport with what is being said, so the person feels listened to, plus they bring in their own stuff so that if the person they're talking to is interested in them, they can ask. Otherwise, they will continue to be interested in the person in whom they are interested. Our great conversationalist is interested, because not everyone's a great conversationalist, but most everyone likes talking to a great conversationalist. Well, think about love. What makes the Kama Sutra so special? Because it talks about different positions, bringing pleasure to each other. It deals with mutuality, the woman's satisfaction, the men's satisfaction. It deals with the bodies. It deals with pleasure in the body. It deals with bringing pleasure. And isn't it pleasurable to talk, to be engaged in conversation? Have you ever heard the expression, to lose yourself in the conversation? Isn't that what great conversationalists are doing? At least they appear to, even when they say, thank you very much. This has been thoroughly enjoyable. However, I need to get on to something else. I look forward to talking to you again. And bam, they're off. But they were totally engaged with you when they were with you. Or at least you experienced them as fully engaged with you. That's what social emotional intelligence is. The ability to know what's going on inside of me, the ability to know what's going on inside of you, the ability to raise my excitation to calm my excitation, to raise your excitation to calm your excitation. And isn't that what's going on in the Kama Sutra, which is to bring other person's arousal up, to be in rapport with them and to be able to support their arousal to consummation and satisfaction, as in the conclusion to a dance well danced? Not some outcome to be rushed to, but a process to be enjoyed and to be engaged in. Yeah, the Kama Sutra of conversation. Social emotional intelligence is absolutely necessary. Some people are interested in the subject, but they're not interested in the person, and they don't have quite the social emotional intelligence of others. So this is a big part of what we work on in everything we do at Wright, which is learning to express ourselves, to receive and listen. Kama Sutra of conversation, making love. And this is also one of the biggest problems, is people think of making love as sexual intercourse. And how much richness do we lose not understanding the excitation of interacting with others, being a great conversationalist, not just focusing on a release and an end result or a penetration, but enjoying the being with another human being. And isn't that ultimately what's attractive? That I enjoy you being with me, being with you, being with me, and we feel increasingly enthused, engaged, and excited. Doesn't have to include sexual intercourse. Doesn't have to be a man and a woman or whoever you orient to. Just has to be intimate, engaged, exciting, socially, emotionally intelligent. And today we're going to talk to Tony. And we are going to talk about making mistakes at work. And we're going to go into what Tony is concerned about. Tony says he's afraid of making mistakes because he doesn't want his boss to yell at him. But obviously he's going to yell if I take on more and try new things. What can I do? Tell me more about that, Tony.
Hi, Bob. Thanks. Well, yeah. I you know, work in an environment where there's two owners. One of them I don't really like, honestly. I find when I go in there, I feel like I've already made a mistake just by showing up. And you know, I just struggle with, like, how do I stay interested in what the guy wants? I just want to kill him when I leave a lot of times because I just feel so indicted by making a small mistake. Or, so that's the situation right now where I'm at.
Well, hang on just a second. When you say you don't like that one, you attribute disliking that one to your fear of a mistake. You're projecting something onto that person. What's your projection?
My projection of who he is to me, is that what you mean?
Who are you projecting onto him? Your boss, your dad, your mom, your grandmother, your grandfather? What historically does he represent in your life?
I see a lot of both my mom as well as my grandfather and my boss.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Never really pleased the guy. And I never know what that specific thing is to make him happy.
So what would happen if you said, you know, I have a hard time figuring out exactly what you like about what I do and what you don't like, so it's hard for me to adjust towards what it is that you want. Would you please give me some feedback?
You know, I've never thought to actually be that specific. I thought in the back of my head that I have a hard time putting my feelings into words. So that's really well put.
Well, this gets us back to the Kama Sutra of conversation, because it's more difficult to have the verbal intercourse with people of whom we are afraid, and with whom we are afraid to not only make a mistake, but to do anything, because we've already pasted on them somebody else's face. So we live guessing and never knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And not having the intercourse that would help us to clarify things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like asking a good question. Asking for the feedback of what you really like to person like is a good first step for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know. I think he wants something. I just don't always know what that is. So that's a good step.
Well, yeah, you just take personal responsibility for it. You know, I just am really afraid of displeasing you, and I can't read you, so I'd really like for you to fill me in on where you're at with me, what you like about what I'm doing, what you want me to change about what I'm doing. And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you periodically how I'm doing.
Great. I can do that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I can do that.
So
I have a vision for myself. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on.
No, I just said, you know, I have this vision for me of, like, this guy really likes me, and I'm a coveted employee whenever I leave my tenure here, whenever that might be. You know, so I know the end result of how I want to be, and I think that's a good step for me to work towards, to saying, what would you like? I can't read you. I like that a lot. I just never would have made the before.
Good. I have a vision of me really doing a good job for you, and I really would like some more feedback because I don't know how to read you. Would you be willing to give it to me? So there you go.
Yeah. A lot of times I just feel like when you talk and I feel so, in the moment, so hijacked that I almost feel like I have to have it in my hand or something, you know, because it kind of, I feel like, lays into me right away, and I just like, didn't you think of this? Didn't you think of this? And I'm like, so I think maybe, how can I even start that when I'm feeling that hijacked place?
Well, but he's asking you questions and you're not answering.
Well,
so
I don't.
Okay,
I feel like I didn't even know to even think that in the first place. I wouldn't have known to even ask those types of things.
He said, "Didn't you think of this?" You know, and your response would be, "No, I hadn't. Thank you very much. What else should I have thought of?" Oh, thank you.
Okay. Cool. I often take those questions as, like, I'm in Schitt's Creek and I'm already up a paddle without a paddle. So I think the reframe of just, I'm learning. I'm learning through him versus feeling like an indictment.
You got to get out of your self-fulfilling prophecy with this guy and start talking more and answer his questions.
Okay.
And thank him for his questions, that they reveal things to you and establish yourself as a student learning what it will take to have him satisfied and to make you the best at what you can, at what you do.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Go get
Great.
Him, Tony.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. So it's not intercourse when I'm busy projecting somebody else on you and avoiding you. It's me treating you as if you are trying to rape me, use me. And in fact, I'm usually using you. Just fascinating. So this is from Claire online. She's saying, how do I step out of drama when I've made a mistake at work? Well, that's an interesting one, because we immediately see ourselves as victims and want to have a rescuer come in. And according to the people that propounded the theory of drama, the drama triangle in transactional analysis, the way out of that bind is to take responsibility. Say, oh, I made a mistake. How did I come to make the mistake? And what do I need to learn from this mistake? That's the responsible position. Excuse me. Irresponsible position is to shrink and just really piss other people off. So we can tie these mistakes into drama. But just remember, it's always intercourse. And I want to thank you for joining us on Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. I invite you to join us January 15th to 17th for our next Foundations training. I am your host, choking and needing another drink of some water, Dr. Bob Wright. Go forth and make mistakes, learn, grow, and have social intercourse.